As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light. In your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 4b through verse 14, and this is Paul writing to the Christians in Philippi. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almost every Monday morning, the first thing I do when I sit down in my office is I get out my weekly planner and start making lists. If you have ever worked very closely with me, you are probably not surprised to hear that I love having a plan. Keeps me focused, helps me prioritize tasks. So I try to make a roadmap of everything I need to do for each day. And one of the best parts about making to-do lists, and my fellow list makers can relate, is getting to cross things off of it. That feeling when you can strike through a task, tangibly see your progress. Sometimes I even write down things I've already done just so I can cross through them because it feels so good. Builds you up, keeps you moving. Gonna cross off every line today. When Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, he's making it sound like he has checked off every box, accomplished every task on the agenda. Circumcised on the eighth day, member of the tribe of Benjamin, a native-born Hebrew, a Pharisee, keeper of the law, full of zeal when it comes to protecting Hebrew tradition, and as far as the law goes, blameless. So Paul is feeling very good about himself, which Paul is frequently accused of. He comes off as arrogant, very preacher-y, knows all the answers, kind of hypocritical after all those years he spent working against the church and having Christians arrested. And really, who calls themselves blameless? But then Paul takes that big checklist and he basically tosses it. Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Whatever titles I held, whatever qualifications I clung to, compared with what Christ has done, that checklist is nothing. Now, I do not want to imply that Paul is discarding his Hebrew tradition or faith. He remains a lifelong, faithful Jew. And when Paul starts to follow Christ, it is not a replacement for his Jewish faith, it's an extension of it. What Paul is putting aside are his own personal pursuits, his high status in the congregation, his personal safety, his reputation, his credentials. He is trading in personal gain for the desires of God, putting down his own agenda in order to follow Christ. And he does experience loss because of it. In fact, he's writing this entire letter to the Philippians from prison. Paul and the Philippian Christians have a long and wonderful history with one another. Philippi was the first European city that Paul visited. Seems to always hold a special place in his heart. Paul has deep friendships there, and a lot of his letter is expressing gratitude to them for the way that they have continued to support his ministry. But Philippi also presented some challenges for Paul. This is, of course, a Roman colony, and for a variety of reasons stemming from the way that Rome conquered this city 200 years earlier, the transportation routes between the city of Rome and the east, and the military strategies of the Roman Empire, it so happens that Philippi is a home for a lot of Roman soldiers and veterans. So naturally, it has a reputation as a very patriotic Roman city. Philippians love Rome. These are career defenders of Rome. Rome first. And they are always going to support the emperor. The emperor is Lord and King. So Paul's message that actually God's kingdom is first, and that Jesus is Lord, this idea that we should be striving for the flourishing of God's justice and love and community instead of the prosperity of the Roman Empire at any cost, is met with a lot of resistance. This idea that God welcomes everyone, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, that in God's eyes we are equal to one another, does not sit well with an empire built on slavery and on clearly defined social roles and on military strength. And yet, writing from a prison cell to a city like this, Philippians is also known as the Epistle of Joy. It's a hopeful, joyful, encouraging letter. So you almost wonder, how does that work? How can Paul say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice," when he's sitting inside a prison cell? How can he say, "Press on, keep going," when both he and his friends in Philippi are being constantly torn down? How can he say, "Forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead," when what lies ahead is Paul's own execution? Is this some strange version of "just smile, everything's gonna be okay"? Is it denial? Is it Pollyannaism? No. Paul has figured out that being part of something greater than yourself, being part of God's kingdom, part of sharing God's mercy and living God's love, makes any potential suffering worth it. Paul lost his own agenda, but he gained a higher goal: to spread and build up the church, to share the freedom of Christ during a dark era of oppression and injustice and corruption. We are by no means anywhere close to Paul's level of suffering. We American Christians can hardly even fathom what true persecution would look like, and I'm not so sure we'd be willing to take the risk. But if nothing else, over these past 6 months, we have had some practice at what it means to trade in our own plans, our wants, our traditions. We've laid aside vacations. Even worse, we've put a hold on things like hugs and handshakes. We've gathered in our homes instead of in sanctuaries. We've had to relearn how to do school and work and family. We've had to set all of that aside and give up some things for the sake of a higher goal, for the love of our neighbor, and for the health of our community. So now that we've had some practice, how can we press on? How can we keep that willingness to put the greater good first, and for us to put God's kingdom and Christ's vision first? Can we lay aside our own good plans, our strategies for staying on top or for accumulating whatever it is that makes us feel safe? Can we reject the sins of greed and racism and find our true healing and security in the hands of God? This week we are going to be celebrating World Communion Sunday. I hope all of you who feel comfortable doing so will join us outside for a drive-through or drive-in sharing of the Lord's Supper. It's always a special time to share in this meal, to remember the depths of God's love, to find a sense of unity, especially in these days of distance. But this week, we are committing to share this meal with Christians all over the world. We lay aside whatever divides us, language, race, location, perspective, and we cling to one common hope. We put aside our own agendas, at least for one day, and proclaim that there is still only one Lord. We are preparing with joy for the day when God will gather us from every corner of the earth, put aside our self-made labels, regard them, as Paul would say, rubbish, nonsense, and set us at a table together. Press on toward that goal. Keep striving for that day, the day when all God's children have a place at the table. Thanks be to God. Amen.